Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. Thank you for joining us once again as the saints are rising, and I have my good friend Saint Albert from South Carolina with us today regarding this great topic we're going to be doing on sin. Sin is something that the world believes is going to be there during the end of times when judgment will take place. For those of you who out there believe that the law is going to be opened up and all your sins exposed and judged right there, it's not quite going to be like that. For all of you right now throwing things at the video screen because I just made that statement, hang on, it's going to get worse for you. For all of you out there who have an open heart and who have hope on their lips and their heart and their minds thinking, what? How do I find out more about this? You're going to be very excited as you uncover the love of the Father. Hello, St. Albert. How are you doing this morning?
Great, Rick. Man, this is going to be a good subject, I'll tell you. I can't wait to start it.
Well, let's dive right in. We're talking about the wonderful thing called sin. In other words, who will be judged by their sins? As we dig in today, many do not have a clue what the scriptures say on this subject. The good news is the truth will come out as they listen to this episode today. And as we open the scriptures in his word, you will see the freedom and the love of our Father in heaven. With that, let's kind of get diving right in here. And we're going to go to the New King James Version. 1 John chapter 2, and I'm gonna dive in because if we go to verse 3, it says, now by this we know him if we keep his commandments. Now what's really interesting is he gets into the commandments right here, but it says in verse 1, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Hmm. How many people would miss that one?
Yeah, they would think it's only for the Christian, huh?
Yeah. So explain that one to our listeners that are listening in. And when he says not just for our sins, it's for the whole world, the sins of the whole world.
Yeah. Well, let me do a quick recap. First of all, just like in the other shows, we know what sin is already. Sin is the breakage of the law. And we know where the law came in. The law did not come in through Moses. It came in through Adam. That's why Adam brought sin and breakage of the law. What Moses did was increase the law so sin will increase. So people will realize how bad they're in. Okay? So we had sin. The whole world was in sin before the cross. Everybody was in sin because everybody was under the law. And when Jesus comes, he comes to eliminate the law for everyone. In other words, there's no one in this world that has the law. They might think they have the law, but they don't. Nobody in this world has the law. So since the law has been eliminated, the imputation of sin has been eliminated. So when Jesus Christ dies at the cross, he dies for the sins of the whole world, not just for the Christians, not just for the Jews, but everyone. Because everyone in the old covenant was under the law. So he came and did away with the law, so everybody's freed from accusation of the law. whether from the law or from the devil. Nobody can accuse you anymore of breaking God's law because there's no more law to break. And that's what sin is. So he came and did away. He did away of sin for the whole world. That's what he did. That's why for somebody to say that they're going to be judged by sin, is they don't have no understanding of the gospel. They don't have no understanding of what the Bible is saying. Because he did not come to take away the sins of the Jews or the Christians. He came to take away the sins of the whole world. And it's in many, many other scriptures that it talks about that.
Well, and you said a mouthful when we were talking about what sin is. And if we look at 1 John 3:4, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness, or sin is the breaking of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. Well, first of all, if he was manifested to take away our sins, was he successful or was he not? You either believe that he was successful or you believe that he was not successful. Let's look at that really close there. If you're listening to this right now, you know he was manifested to take away our sins. Was he manifested? Yes, there's proof. There's all kinds of proof. Matter of fact, you could take all the proof and add it up, and there's no other historical situation that has more validated proof than the gospel of the New Testament of Jesus Christ. And most of everything that he did wasn't even recorded. And they said there would not be enough books in the world to record all the things that he did while he was here. So it says he was manifest to take away our sins. You either believe he did it or he didn't. And in him, there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Ooh, that's powerful. So if you abide in him, you do not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Think about that. How do you rectify that statement under the law? You can't. You have to get away from this statement under the law. And there has to be another way to wrap this statement up. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. How can that statement be true under what everybody recognizes as sin?
Yeah, and this, you know, a lot of preachers come up with 1 John and say, well, what he's really talking about is not a person does not continue on doing sin, but that's not what it talks about here. It says that he cannot sin at all. So,
and it even goes on in 8, sorry for the interruption, but it goes on, you're right, he can't sin at all, because not only can he not sin, but it says he who sins is of the devil in verse 8. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, and for this purpose, what purpose? Because the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. That's why we go back up here and it says, you know, he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him there is no sin. And this purpose, because the devil has sinned from the beginning, that was the reason that it was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Again, we're back to the statement, did he destroy the works of the devil, or did he not destroy the works of the devil?
And the devil was the same, you know, the works of the devil was the same thing as the law. You know, the devil was trying to, you see, the three I wills of the devil is trying to reach heaven and the throne of God by his own will, you know, which is what the law is. The law is obtaining your own will to be good, you know, or bad. So the devil, what he proposed to Adam and Eve was the same thing. Hey, you will know good and evil, you know, just like God, you're going to be working in those good and evils. For your own, you know, salvation or justification or righteousness, whatever you want to call it, you know. But, you know,
I was going to say in 7, which we skipped over, it says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. How do we practice righteousness today?
By faith.
Mm-hmm.
Not by works.
That's right. And where we find that at? If we go to Romans chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "Even R21, it says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith. And it's actually faith of Jesus Christ to all and upon all who believe. How do we know that? We can switch that back to the King James Version and go down, and it says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And in the New King James, change it to the word in. But anyway, I wanted to make sure that, first of all, we have to understand sin is breaking the law. Like you said, Albert, very well said, it's breaking the law. And sin, so if it's breaking the law, we got to go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 14. For he himself is our peace. Who is he? Christ, who has made both one, the Jew and the Gentile, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace.
He's abolished. I got a question for you now, Rick.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know that Jesus Christ now died for the sins of the whole world. Well, what happens if I don't believe that? What happens if a Christian doesn't believe that? Does that annul what he did?
No, it's still a fact that he died for the sins of the whole world, whether you believe it or not. So it's like kind of like saying, you know, that when you take a breath, you're going to be able to breathe in oxygen right now. You may not believe it, but it's still true. It's going to happen. If you jump off of a 10-story building, you're going to fall and hit the ground, whether you believe it or not. It's still a law that's going to occur. So Jesus did it, whether you believe it or not.
And that's in the Gospels, right? I think that's in Romans 3:3, right?
I believe you're on it there. Let me pull that up here. I think it is Romans 3:3. Here it is. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. But if our righteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? Certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? Well, the bottom is, you know, Jesus came, and the finality of what he did on the cross with sin is he judged sin. Matter of fact, in Romans 8, I think it is, let me pull that up. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weakened by who? By man, the flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. So then it says he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How can we walk according to the flesh, and how do we walk according to the Spirit? What say you, Albert?
Well, it's according to the Spirit. Spirit is faith. If you're walking in the faith that he took away your sins and he killed the law, and you're walking in what he did, and you're walking in your identity as to who he made you, you're walking in the Spirit. The Spirit talks about identity to you all the time. It tells you who you are, what God is doing in you, what God is doing in the world, that you're part of God, that you got his holiness, that you own everything that God owns, that he cannot give you anything else. That's walking in the Spirit. Walking in the flesh is walking according to what you think in reference to the law. You have broken this law, so you're guilty, which you're not if you're walking in the Spirit, and you understand that. People will tell you that because of circumstances and stuff in the world, that God really doesn't care for you, that He really tell you your identity. Are you really a son of God? Are you really an heir of everything? Don't you think that you have to work a little harder for it? Or don't you think that you can't earn it because of the things that you have done in the past, in the future, in the present, stuff like that? That's walking in the flesh. Most people think that walking in the flesh is doing bad things and all that, and it's not. It's really walking in the flesh is walking in your own righteousness. That's what walking in the flesh is. Mm-hmm. And walking in the Spirit is walking in the Spirit is walking in the righteousness of God that's imputed in you. You're walking in what He has given you, not what you have earned or what you're working on.
If we go to the word sarx, it's flesh, the soft substance of the living body, which covers the bones, is permeated with the blood of both man and beast, the body of man, used of natural physical origin, generation relationship, born of a natural generation, the sensuous nature of man, the animal nature, without any suggestion of depravity. The physical nature of a man is subject to suffering. A living creature, the flesh, denotes mere human nature, the earthly nature apart from the divine influence, and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. So if we look at that verse that I'm dealing with right here, let me go back here. All right. And we look at this one. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. So if you're in the flesh body and you haven't had a rebirth experience in the Spirit by giving yourself to Christ, you're dead. But this is mistaken right here. And they think it's because of all the mistakes they make. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spiritually minded is one who says, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because when that occurs, you're given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent as a helper to you. The carnal mind is enmity against God. So if the carnal mind is enmity, in other words, the body, the flesh, is enmity against God. We know that for in Romans chapter 7, that's where Paul was having his argument about, why do I do what I don't want to do and I can't do it? It's the flesh. It's not I who does it, he says. It's sin living in the body. Going on here to Romans or chapter 6, it says, what about, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, that's us, that's you listening. If you're listening to this right now, how shall we who died to sin, when did we die to sin? The moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that was your death. Okay? And when you died to that flesh body, you have said, I'm serving a new master. You have made a conscious decision. The new master is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus has now become whom you serve. God in heaven through Christ Jesus is now whom you serve. So you died to sin at that moment. How it says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? You were baptized into his death when he died. You just decided to receive it by accepting Christ Jesus at the time that you said, he is my Lord and Savior. Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism by death, and that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin.
Hmm. So Rick, so the judgment, what is the judgment in other world? What will the saved people and the people who are not saved in this world, and we're not talking about here about universal salvation, because we don't believe in universal salvation.
No,
but we believe that the whole world was, the sin of the whole world was taken away. So what is the judgment, Rick? What happens when somebody dies, whether you're a Christian or not? What is it that's going to judge you?
The only judgment that we'll have then is whether or not we believed on Christ. We accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We believe in him, in his name. In other words, Romans chapter 10, when we go to Romans chapter 10, let me get there real quick. Verse 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth that Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Mm-hmm. That's our judgment.
Mm-hmm. And that's also in Romans 2:16, right? Which what that is the gospel.
There it is.
And in Romans 2:16, it talks about the same thing, about yes. the judgment day.
And the day when God judged the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
Hmm. So it's going to be, the judgment is not going to be on works in anybody. It's going to be a judgment of whether you have Christ's life in you or you don't.
You either accept Christ or you don't. And you're right. That is the judgment. And we go to 2 Corinthians. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to whom? Those who are perishing. That's who it's veiled to. So if they don't get it, they're perishing. Whose minds the God of this age blinded? The God of this age. You notice the little G? This is mistaken. This is mistaken. Everybody thinks that's God. That's not God. Let's look at this. Who is the God of this world? Okay. If we look at this, let me go back here. Who is the prince of this world that's in charge right now?
Yeah, it's the devil, the God of the air, the person who all the way from Adam and Eve has brought in the law. So man could be self-righteous. So man will deal in self-righteousness just like he deals in self-righteousness. That's why the gospel is the enemy of the devil. Just like the gospel is the enemy of religion, because the devil and religion both rely on self-righteousness, just like the world does. The world relies on self-righteousness. And self-righteousness, the bad thing about self-righteousness is that when you try to gain your own righteousness, there is no such thing, because there's only one who's righteous, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. That is God, the only one who's self-righteous. The rest of creation, including the devil, is not self-righteous. In fact, they have no righteousness at all.
Well, if you go back here and you look at this, you know it's the little G. You know it's the God of this age. You know it's Satan, because it says, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, it's a little G, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of big G, God, should shine on them. So God was using this twice, but it's God of this age, little G, it's Satan. He blinded them. Be not blinded, you who are listening. Be not blinded. You don't have to be blinded. Don't ask yourself the question of, am I going to be okay because of all the stuff I've done wrong? You're free. You're free from that. You've been set free from all sin if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the whole world's been set free from it, but it's like this phone. It's mine, and someone gave it to me, but if I don't take it, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Get a habit. So It's been done for you. All you have to do is confess with your mouth that Christ Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, and you're saved. Now, that's just the beginning. That's where you just enter. Then you get to grow. You get to grow into all the blessings that he has for you to be what we are, and that's the sons of God. The sons and daughters of God, we are that right now. Take hold by faith what is due you, because Jesus' blood was not something that was done in vain. It was done for you by him because of his love for you. How much more does a man deserve to be punished who tramples underfoot the Son of God, who treats as an unholy thing the Spirit of grace? The gift of God. It's kind of like St. Albert and I earlier were talking, and it's like you've been in a jail cell all this time, and here comes this magnificent one who loves you, and he opens up the gate and says, "You are free from this cell. I have laid my life on the cross for you so you may be free from this cell." And you choose to stay in the cell. You no longer have to. You no longer are required to. You now are free. If you haven't accepted him, I send an invitation to you right now to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Repeat after me. Lord, I can't do it of my own accord. I know you sent your son for me and for everyone. And I choose not to sit on the sidelines anymore. I accept your son as Lord and as Savior. And I believe in my heart he was raised from the dead. Help me and guide me in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer, you are now in the kingdom. You're a son or daughter of God. And we welcome these multitudes of angels are singing right now on your behalf, because you are now in the kingdom of God. We've recently been approached to be on more radio stations around the world. And we're asking, if God lays it on your heart to help us, help us. Not looking for much, just a commitment from someone who would be used by God that says, "I will sponsor you, folks." And we're looking for a sponsorship. It's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 a month or so. I think it's $80 a week. If that can happen, we will touch people around the world who currently are not hearing this truth. They're hearing things that are not quite the truth. They're all around it, but not quite the truth. Here, St. Albert and myself are dedicated to one thing, and that's following the truth of Christ Jesus and what our Father in heaven says. And keep in mind, you are not judged by sin. Sin has been dealt with. Sin has been victoriously conquered at the cross. You're being judged by, do you believe? The sin of unbelief is the only thing left that can keep you from what God has meant for you to receive. And that is the wonderful gift of salvation. We want to thank all of you for joining us each and every week, and want to keep you in mind in our prayers and our hearts. And we ask you to do the same for Albert and I. And remember, the saints are rising.